to one of NYPD's finest, North Korea losing it. I'm Michael Toscano. NYPD Officer Rafael Ramos being remembered today. Vice President Joe Biden, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio all spoke at the funeral for Ramos, one of two police officers ambushed and killed last weekend.
He wanted to be someone who gave more, someone who would take risks that so many others would find unimaginable. He wanted to reach higher in service to others.
Mayor de Blasio. After the service in a Queens church, Ramos's flag-draped coffin was escorted for burial. Thousands of police officers from across the country making a sea of blue for his farewell. North Korea is name-calling and casting blame over the shutdown of its internet amid the hacking controversy over the movie The Interview. Pyongyang called President Obama a monkey today and blamed the U.S. for the internet shutdown, as well as the release of the movie The Interview by Sony. Their internet's been on and off the last 2 days. More airstrikes against ISIS militants in Iraq and Syria. A dozen missions were flown today. Six strikes near the Syrian town of Kobani destroyed ISIS buildings, fighting positions, and vehicles. Other targets, including buildings, vehicles, and a refinery in Iraq. Pakistan, not amused by the hit American TV show Homeland, upset that the country is depicted as what one Pakistani diplomat calls a hellhole. Correspondent Pat Piper.
A spokesman with the Pakistani embassy tells the New York Post, Showtime's popular spies series maligns a country that has been a close ally with the United States in the fight against terror. Diplomats say they were upset by the capital city of Islamabad being portrayed as a dirty war zone filled with political leaders who pander to terrorists. They say it's actually green and picturesque with stunning mountain views, and the political figures who live there are dedicated to fighting terrorism.
Just today, a Pakistani military operation took out 39 Islamic militants. I'm Michael Toscano.
GEICO presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, I really enjoy your commercials about GEICO's app. I watch them over and over and over. They make me both laugh and very hungry. Weird. Anyway, I just want to let you know how GEICO's new claim status updates on the app really blow me away. Getting those updates makes me think of you. I'd like to thank you in person. Just send me your address. All the best, Big Bad W. Sure thing, Big Bad W. I got a pen. It's 802, not gonna happen lane.
Claim status updates, just a tap away on the GEICO app.
Fraudulent charges aren't always so easy to find. They can start out as just a few dollars. That's why Discover Card monitors every purchase every day to help keep your account protected from suspicious activity. Plus, you're never responsible for any unauthorized purchases on your Discover Card. And if you need to replace your card for any reason, we'll overnight you a new one at your request, free of charge. These are just some of the many ways we treat you like you'd treat you. Learn more at discover.com. Overnight shipping applies to U.S. destinations, excluding P.O. boxes.
Malls across America filled today with people taking advantage of sales and, of course, returning Santa's mistakes. Retailers are usually pretty good about that, but Allison Kosick has a few pointers to help you make sure that things go smoothly.
The number one piece of advice that I'm hearing is bring your ID with you. A lot of these stores are going to be asking you for your ID. They're trying to cut down on fraudulent returns, these excessive returns that people are making, so they're going to ask you for your ID. Another suggestion, don't open the gift. You have a better chance of getting a credit or getting it returned in that way. Also, hopefully there's a gift receipt. And if there is a receipt, go ahead and check out the return policy for the store. You may actually have a bigger window of time that you don't have to rush there with all the crowds today. You may be able to wait a couple days before you can return it.
Just about all the gifts that were supposed to arrive by Christmas have done so. According to shipment tracker ShipMatrix, FedEx delivered more than 99% of express packages as promised. UPS also hit the 99% mark for deliveries on the 22nd and the 23rd. I'm Michael Toscano.
I try to find the right one, but it seems like they all just have one thing on their mind.
Having only one thing on your mind can be a good thing when you find that special someone. At GEICO.com, that someone is a car insurance policy, and the only thing on its mind is being your soulmate. Depend on easy online tools for paying bills and managing claims. Picture a life of savings as you gaze into the eyes of a free rate quote. That's our go-to move. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Fraudulent charges aren't always so easy to find. They can start out as just a few dollars. That's why Discover Card monitors every purchase every day to help keep your account protected from suspicious activity. Plus, you're never responsible for any unauthorized purchases on your Discover Card. And if you need to replace your card for any reason, we'll overnight you a new one at your request, free of charge. These are just some of the many ways we treat you like you'd treat you. Learn more at discover.com. Overnight shipping applies to U.S. destinations, excluding P.O. Box.
AM 1300 WMEL.
From the WMEL Weather Center, here's your forecast. Today, mostly cloudy but warm, with a high near 79 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy with some patchy fog, low around 64. Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high near 80 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 66. And Monday, the heat continues, partly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Here, Ed Dean, weekday afternoons, 5 to 7 p.m., right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and live online at 1300WMEL.com.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. I'm Slaughter.
And I'm Lawson.
And our new show is called Mouthin' Off, Saturdays at 3 p.m. On our sports talk show, we tackle hard-hitting sports topics on a local and national level. I'm Alan Slaughter.
And I'm Matt Lawson.
Talk to us Saturdays at 3 p.m. here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
And worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
AM 1300 WMEL.
The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Anselmo at AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. And this show is Bold Talk Business Radio. What we talk about every week on Bold Talk Business Radio is how to get your life where you want it to be, whether it's your personal life or your business life. And we provide insight, strategies, tips, and tools for success. Today, we have Dr. Diane Kramer coming on the line with us any moment. Dr. Diane Kramer is a clinical psychologist based on Long Island, New York, and she is the founder of Peak Skills Learning Systems, as well as the Extraordinary Self Program, and the up-and-coming program called Success Crossing. So what we're going to be talking about is success. And one of the reasons we picked this as a topic today is that at the end of the year, we get into this time for reflection and thinking about the promise of a new year. And so as the Christmas season begins to wind down and the new year begins to wind up, we know that that whole season of Advent leading up to Christmas is about the promise of salvation and the ability to refresh and start anew. And so today what we're going to do is reflect on what it takes to get where you want to go, no matter what religion you follow. There are some key items, key issues, key factors that help you to become the person that you want to be and actually will make the difference in the success and satisfaction in your own life. So, Dr. Diane Kramer, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. One of the things I would just love to say and let our listeners know is a phrase that you had said to me many years ago, which is stress is optional.
And I remember that. My friend Jeremy Sykes, who is now in, he's over in China for years. He's the one many, many years ago who said that to me. And I said, what do you mean optional? It's not optional. And he said, yes, it is. You'll discover that. And then I did.
And let me ask you, just as an aside here, what helped you to discover that you really don't have to take on somebody else's stress?
a whole set of knowledge, beliefs, and skills combined together. So at first, believing that it's possible not to have a lot of stress. It's stressful situations for me. That's number one. Once I started to believe it, then I started to learn something about how my own stress reactions worked. And it was easy. I was teaching students for 40 years psychology, so along the way I had to teach about about stress, So I really studied it in depth, how it works, but everybody doesn't have to do that, just me. And then, so now I had the belief it's possible to stop the stress, the information to back it up, and then I started developing, learning the tools. And the tools are awareness tools. You start, number one, since you asked, with mindfulness. You become very aware of what the triggers are that make you stressed. You notice, first step in your body, start to notice when you start to feel stressed. You learn to step back, soothe yourself, and it is what it is. Get out of the stressful situation in your mind. I don't mean in reality, in your mind. And then from there are many tools to reduce the stress. You can cut things down into little bitty bites, we call them chunks, right, and go one little step at a time, right? You can get rid of certain things. You can make action plans. You could delegate to other people. You can really accept it is what it is. Relax your body through, if you want to go the physical way, through yoga, meditation, dance, singing. You can write it out, what's making you stressed. But the most important is to take control over your mind so it doesn't keep feeding you all the possible things that could go wrong.
So I'm really glad that you...
why you're not good, it's not going to work. Or
Diane, I don't know if you can hear me. I just want to do a mic check here. But yeah. I'm really glad that you brought up the mention of control of your mind. A few things today, my own schedule, and I know yours as a result, changed in the last minute. And so it took needing to be really flexible in the moment. And I remember saying to myself, stress is optional. I can take it on or I don't have to. And that's why, even though that wasn't the plan for today's discussion, it kind of filtered in a little bit here. And
what it is, it's an interrupt. If you keep saying that to yourself and you really come to believe it, it'll interrupt the stress pattern. You step back, you take some breaths, you focus your mind not on the big picture with everything crowding in, but on the next little detail.
Right. So for me, it was, okay, my situation changed, my schedule changed. How am I going to respond to it? What am I going to do? What are my options? And laying out a plan, and that really helped me.
Yeah.
Can
I tell a story?
Oh, I would love your story. Thank you.
An 18-year-old girl I saw today who was really suffering from major stress and what she's going to do to fix it.
Yeah.
Would that be useful
sure.
to tell that story?
I think our listeners would love to know how someone who is feeling really stressed in the moment, to hear her story and find out what she did and what you recommended. Very valuable lesson.
So here is, picture this, an 18-year-old beautiful young woman got a major scholarship to a fine school. She went off to that fine school having really succeeded in high school. She was about number 3 in her class. She was on the Honor Society. She did really well. And she didn't have to really work hard at it. It just kind of happened.
Right.
So now she gets to school, right? And the kinds of assignments they're giving her are not what she got in high school. High school, she went to Smithtown High, by the way.
Oh, my children's alma mater in Long Island.
So somehow she hadn't learned to really carry out assignments on her own. Maybe there was too much scaffolding there at Smithtown, I don't know. Anyway, she felt, as she began to notice, and she's in all honors classes, as she began to notice that other people seemed to have ease with doing the assignments, she started making conclusions about herself, probably that were under the surface, but now they started to come to the surface. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'm not well prepared. Everybody is better than me. I'm going to fail. Now, in the past, in high school, she would procrastinate when a test or a paper was due. Then she would hit the stress panic button in her mind. I've got to do it. I'm going to fail. And that would propel her forward to actually focus and do the work.
Fear of failure.
Remember that pattern from college?
Sure. And fear of failure can sometimes be a motivator, but sometimes it can paralyze you.
Right. So it would motivate her forward. In high school, she would press the panic button. She would succeed and get all A's. Now she comes to college. She's sitting there with the assignments. She's thinking, oh, my God, this is overwhelming. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Everybody else knows how to do this. I'm not as good as. And she's sitting there, and she's saying, oh, my God, I'm going to fail if I don't get going. I've got to do it. And the panic button, the stress reaction, absolutely refused to turn on. So there was no juice, no fear of failure to move her forward. Now,
right.
Isn't that odd? And she was paralyzed. She would just sit there looking at her paper when she had to write papers for hours. She hardly slept because she was so busy looking at her empty Word documents. And nothing was happening.
Yeah,
she was used to stressing herself out to get moving.
Sure. As a writer, I understand that. You know, I've written the book Marketing Demystified, which was 380 pages of how-to information. And sometimes you just sit. that strikes fear in anybody's heart there. But
right.
I also have a friend here at the radio station who goes on police radio, and he responds to police reports, and he deals with crisis situations every day. So it's kind of like, where are you on the spectrum, and does it matter?
Right.
You know, when does
it
matter?
So she came into my office this morning. Her parents, who I've been seeing, brought her in for me to work with, and because I've had 40 years of working with kids going through college as a college professor and a psychologist helping them, so and doing the Extraordinary Self program with them in class. So Here she is, and so I start giving her multiple choices. We got to speed this up. You only have a couple of weeks before you go back to school, if you're going back to school, because she has to finish her incomplete. So I said, so you're sitting there, so what are you thinking? So she tells me all the stuff she's thinking about herself, right? She says, but then I get stuck. It doesn't push me forward. I said, okay, so here are some possibilities. Here's inner conflict that's probably locking you in place and keeping you from me moving forward. So some of the inner conflict has to do with, you know, I want to be independent, I want to go out on my own, but I'm petrified of growing up. That was one. The second is, I want to be a success and prove I can, you know, have a career, but I have absolutely no idea what I want to do. Nothing is really pulling at me right now. That's number two. Number three was, I want to succeed so bad, but I don't believe enough in myself, number three. So in high school, it seemed to work, the panic button, because her goal was college, a scholarship and a good college. But she has no goal now. She has no goal because she's not even sure she wants to finish college because she doesn't even know what she wants to do with her life.
So that brings
so this vague future.
Sure.
Whereas before it was very specific.
Well,
I've got to get into college.
We're speaking on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is your host for the hour, Donna Anselmo, with Bold Talk Business Radio. And this is the place where listeners come to learn insights, strategies, tips, and tools for success in business and life. What we have been talking about is some of the situations that can overwhelm people and create stress, which brings me to another part of the discussion that I had planned for us to have today, Dr. Diane Kramer, which is the factors that influence success and satisfaction in someone's life.
Yeah.
And one of those factors.
Because there were three factors that we then worked on.
Okay.
For this girl.
Let's talk about that.
Successful.
And then I know that we've got about, you and I had some time ago differentiated about 15 success and satisfaction factors. So let's start with the three that influence this girl, and then we can go through and talk about some of the others that our listeners may resonate with for themselves as well.
Okay. So I don't actually remember to have a list in front of me.
I'm going to give you the list.
But one was learning to feel really good about yourself. So we went into that, and she, you know, in one session, this takes time to build up that good feeling and confidence in yourself. But we really got started today. She started to feel better about herself, no matter what. She's at least average. she knows she can do it. So she started to feel better about herself. And then we focused on goal. And I started to give her some outlines for how she can find a goal for her future. And we started working on that, so she felt a little more inspired about her goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing that was most important in this case was, because she was overwhelmed with all she had to do to finish an incomplete, we made an action plan. She had never done that before. She had never calendared her steps, what she needs to do. We pulled out a calendar. We broke it down. She had to do, I don't know, three writing assignments, two case studies. We broke each one down into tiny little steps with due dates and the reward she would give herself after she finished each little piece. Because what is a major success factor is the ability to, and satisfaction factor, is the ability to look at the parts that lead to the whole and see each part as its own little step and goal, step and goal, step and goal, and reward yourself for every little piece so that you feel good along the way rather than looking left and right and comparing yourself.
Last week, look back, wow, I did it,
and then you get there.
Yes, and last week I did an interview that we ran with Dr. Joe Serio from Texas, who wrote the Got the Nerve series of books, and including a book called Overcoming Fear and another one on public speaking in his Get the Nerve series. And one of the things that he talked about is just what you said, the importance of being able to reward and celebrate your success. So yeah. When you were talking about the young woman that you saw this morning, you talked about her need to be able to believe in herself and feel good about herself. And that is a success and satisfaction factor in terms of self-confidence, self-concept, self-respect, and self-awareness. So
yeah.
In order to know that you have strong self-concept and self-respect and self-awareness, you would be considering and asking yourself, well, how do I feel about me most of the time? And when I make a mistake or fail, can I soothe myself and figure out the problem rather than attack myself and blame myself? Or when people criticize or reject me, can I soothe myself and figure out a healthy way to handle the situation? So, Diane, can you talk about how the different ways that people soothe themselves in a situation that influences self-concept? We've got about 5 minutes left to this segment. Then we're going to take a break and come back with more than 20 minutes of success and satisfaction factors.
Well, the first is to recognize, and a lot of people don't, that whether you self-attack or self-soothe and then problem-solve is a choice. It's a choice. But if you came from, as in most families, you got criticized, expectations were too high for you, there are a lot of families like that, you end up self-attacking. And you don't even realize you have a choice of whether to self-attack or not. So rather than self-attack, if you motivate yourself forward, I really want this. Oh, good job. I'm getting there. Good job. So the first is changing your self-talk.
Instead of saying, there must be something wrong with me because I didn't get this right, or there must be something wrong with me because someone else doesn't have the reaction to me that I thought they would, then I can say to myself, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. And I just have to think about it in a more positive framework for me.
Well, and the key word is learn. I just have to learn to do this. I have to break it down into tiny steps and learn how to do it. Who else can do it? I'm going to learn from them how to do it.
That's so important.
Instead of a self-attack, the antidote is tiny little step-by-step learning.
That's so important, because as long as you can stay in learning mode and remember that you're just a step away from figuring out what you need, and as long as you work to uncover the next piece and you chunk it down, whatever you're doing, just say, okay, I'm going to tackle this piece of it now, and then I'll tackle that piece, and then I'll tackle the next piece. And you don't have to feel overwhelmed by the big goal that you want to achieve, you can just say, I'm going to learn what I need to do to get through each stage. And that's easier for people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when somebody is feeling stress, one of the success and satisfaction factors is mindfulness and self-awareness. And this is something that you, Dr. Diane Kramer, clinical psychologist, and I have discussed in the past. So what are some of the features of someone who is mindful and self-aware? And why is that important? We've got just a couple of minutes to answer that question.
Well, the number one feature of mindfulness is being present in the moment. Being present, noticing where you're at and noticing what's going, even if your mind is going into the past, noticing you're going into the past. Because it's useful at times. If your mind is going to the future and future planning, notice your mind is going to, in other words, don't get lost in your thoughts. Mindfulness is you step back and you're aware of the thought, your thoughts, while you're thinking them. It's not easy.
Right.
Because you don't want to just be in the present as if there is no past or future. You want to also be mindful of the past, mindful of the future, but awareness that that's where you're at.
And taking the information from the moment and the information from the learning from the past or the prediction of what you want to do or see in the future, but not necessarily getting mired in all the emotion around it. And if you have the emotion, then you notice that you're having the emotion and kind of peel away what that all means.
Right. As a matter of fact, emotions are only, well, one way to look at emotions are that they're communication signals. We're born with an emotional system. Oh, there are seven major negative emotions and lots of positive emotions. We're born that way. But how to regulate those emotions, we often don't learn when we're young. So we get overwhelmed by the emotions rather than using them as a signal system. As a signal system, when you get angry, that means I'm hurt, somebody went against me in some way. So instead of getting angry and just feeling it over and over, you use the anger to go, okay, I got the message. This is something's not right about this. What do I want to do about it? And then you problem solve what you want to do about it. So emotions are simply signals. When you're very mindful, you're aware that the emotion can just float away and you can focus on what do I want to do about it rather than acting out or getting immersed in the emotion.
And that what do I want to do about it, and we've got about a minute left before we go to break here, the what do I want to do about it is about self-regulation. It's about kind of becoming the executive of your own mind and learning how to focus on the task you want to accomplish, get organized, gain control over your time, and manage your time well.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So,
almost every single person who comes into my office for coaching or therapy, a couple, a family, an individual, they all suffer from emotional dysregulation. They haven't learned how to manage their emotions. They get overwhelmed by them.
Well, we are going to come back after this news break and talk some more about the remaining success and satisfaction. Hold on the line, Dr. Diane Kramer. I look forward to having you back with us.
AM 1300 WMEL.
From the WMEL Weather Center, here's your forecast. For the rest of today, look for mostly cloudy skies with a high near 79 degrees. Tonight, some patchy fog with a low around 64. For Sunday, high near 80 degrees with partly sunny skies. Sunday night's low 66. And Monday, partly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Here, Dave Ramsey, weekday afternoons 2 to 5 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and worldwide online at 1300WMEL.com.
Hey there, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Adam Waltmeyer from WMEL's Pop Garden Radio, inviting you to join me New Year's Eve. Starting at 8 p.m., we'll ring in the new year together. I will air Pop Garden Radio's top 15 songs of 2014, and I'll be your DJ for your New Year's Eve celebration. The fun starts on New Year's Eve at 8 p.m. for Pop Garden Radio's New Year's Eve special, only on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
At the funeral for one of the two policemen shot and killed a week ago, hundreds of NYPD officers turned their backs on Mayor Bill de Blasio when he spoke. Police Union President Pat Lynch says he supports them and understands their anger and alienation.
We have to understand the betrayal that they feel. But today we also come to bow our head in mourning, and tomorrow we'll debate.
Funeral plans for Rafael Ramos's partner Wen-Jen Liu have not yet been announced. Well, no comment from the National Security Council on North Korea's latest stream of racially tinged insults and accusations. Meantime, the Obama administration wants to shut down the prison at Guantanamo Bay within the next 6 months. The correspondent Barbara Starr says there's a problem.
You can't send them back to Yemen because Al-Qaeda is so active in Yemen right now, and no third country yet is willing to take them.
And there were more coalition airstrikes against ISIS militants today, an Iraqi refinery among the targets. There were also several strikes in Syria. I'm Evan Haney.
From the WMEL Weather Center, here's your forecast. For the rest of today, look for mostly cloudy skies with a high near 79 degrees. Tonight, some patchy fog with a low around 64. For Sunday, high near 80 degrees with partly sunny skies. Sunday night's low 66. And Monday, partly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Here, Dave Ramsey, weekday afternoons 2 to 5 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and worldwide online at 1300WMEL.com.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend. Huh? The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. That's 800-918-7169.
Fresh, crisp, clean mountain air.
And the sound of angelic snowflakes falling on pristine tree-lined slopes.
That's Timberline Resort, located in wild, wonderful West Virginia.
It's heaven, and you're almost there.
Enjoy 37 trails,
150 inches of annual snowfall,
and a 1,000-foot vertical drop.
That's Timberline Resort.
Ski and stay packages are available for Timberline Hotel and Suites,
where adventure and fun collide with nature's pristine beauty and abundance.
In real snow country.
Enjoy two terrain parks
and skiing adventure
for the whole family.
Or relax and dine by the fireside
after hitting the best 100 acres of skiable terrain.
All at Timberline Resort.
Visit TimberlineResort.com.
Or call 1-800-SNOWING. To plan your perfect winter getaway.
Here, where it's heaven.
And it's so close,
you're almost there.
Your home for Orlando Magic basketball is AM 1300 WMEL.
Runs front court to Oladipo, right to the window, and the hard right hand down and in. Boy, he got up there.
The Magic are back out on the road to face Kemba Walker and the Charlotte Hornets. Dennis Newman will have the coverage tonight from Time Warner Cable Arena, starting with the pregame show at 6:30, followed by the tip-off at 7. On your home for the Magic for 23 years on the Space Coast, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Okay, this is Donna Anselmo, back for the second half of our hour today, and you are listening to Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. And we have on the line with us Dr. Diane Kramer, clinical psychologist, NYU graduate, founder of the Extraordinary Self Program and Peak Skills Learning Center and the soon-to-be-released edition of Success Crossing. And what we're talking about are the factors that
influence success and satisfaction in life and work today. So one of those factors that we haven't talked too much about yet is motivation and purpose. So Dr. Diane Kramer, what can you tell me about what's important? How does somebody stay motivated, or even sometimes like define what they're trying to do? Like, I know I have had experience in my own life where I said, you know, I don't really know what I want to do, and I don't always have that focus that I should. Now, today, of course, obviously, I'm more focused than I used to be in my earlier edition of me. But what happens? How do we get people to be motivated and purposeful in their life and work?
Great, very large question. First, let me comment on how difficult it is for a lot of people. Some people just are born and they know what they're going to do. I remember seeing a movie about Baryshnikov, and at 16 or 12, I don't know, he woke up one day and said, I'm going to be a famous ballet dancer, and that was it. But most of us do not have that great fortune to be handed our gift. And I really do believe that all human beings have gifts that can turn into our purpose and motivation. So how do we find that gift? Well, you know, at the beginning when we're young, like college age, it's hard because we're just being introduced to the outside world. There are many, many possibilities. And so how do we narrow down and get excited about the choices?
That is one of the issues that I dealt with, you know, earlier in my life, where I had an appetite for so many things, like everything interested me. And so it became an issue of, I need to focus, I need to choose. And then when I'm feeling overwhelmed by all the things I want to do, how do I pick one and get motivated to stay on that?
Well, you are fortunate to be on the end, the extreme end of, I have so many things I'm interested in, I want to do, because you believed in yourself. And I know your motivation, your motto was, if I'm a Fiore, I could do it, right?
That was how I was raised. You're a Fiore, right? You can do anything. Now I'm an Anselmo.
But a lot of people don't have that. They don't believe they can do it, so that stops them even before they get out of the car, out of the starting gate. They don't give themselves permission to do it. So they don't even explore what they want to do because they don't believe they can do it. So the first step is to learn how to believe in yourself. That's not easy.
What gets in the way of believing in yourself? How do people tap into their beliefs? And I think that this maybe gets in a little bit to the factor of emotional intelligence, too. How does that all work together?
Well, you know, it's complicated and simple at the same time. When we are born, we're born into a world, again, we have an emotional system, we have needs, and the people around us, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, the clergy people, the teachers, help to shape our beliefs about ourselves, our self-image. So if you're always told you're not as good as, or mommy is always busy saying, oh, you didn't get as high a mark as, or you can't do that, or look at her, she's clumsy, whatever it is, you begin to develop doubts about yourself. And those doubts get incorporated inside you. And so when you fail, it's exaggerated. It's true about me. So you don't regulate the emotion of frustration and disappointment. Instead, you come to believe this is true. I remember my own daughter, she had this belief that if she weren't perfect at something right away, she wasn't good at it at all, so she would give it up.
Right, so if somebody develops this negative feeling about themselves, or a negative belief about themselves, then what are some discrete things that people can do to step out of a limiting belief like, I'm not good enough?
Right. Well, two things come to my mind. The first is something my husband always says, which is, listen, in order to succeed out there, you only have to be ordinary. You only have to be average. Average people succeed. You don't have to be at the top. you can be in the middle and succeed. So that's a good thing to hold on to.
And another thing I was going to add here is that the ability to say to yourself, you know what, I can choose my belief. I don't have to stay in that belief. I can choose something else that will be more helpful and empowering to me.
Right. And the belief that's most useful is to believe that you don't have to be at the top or a success in a given area or field right away, that you can believe that you can learn how to succeed more and more.
And that's what we're talking about today, the factors that will help you live a more successful and more satisfying life. And so far we have talked about mindfulness and self-awareness, getting a moment of presence around what's actually going on in your head so that you have the ability to understand yourself and make a choice and stay present and interrupt the patterns of thinking that get in the way. We talked about a second success and satisfaction factor as self-concept, self-respect, and self-awareness. You can feel good about yourself when you make a mistake or a fail. You could self-soothe. When people criticize you, you can self-soothe and find a healthy way to deal with the situation. The third factor we talked about was self-regulation, also called executive function, being able to be organized, take control over your time, manage it well, pick what you want to do, and then wait for that reward. And when you get there, actually reward yourself. We talked about motivation and purpose as another factor. And now emotional intelligence and how that ability to control your emotional self, to take stock of where you're at and choose what you want to think, believe, and do, and how you're going to regulate yourself. And then, of course, we have the belief factor, the way that your beliefs influence your own thinking about what you're doing. And then we talked about stress management. We started the hour talking about stress. And one of the other things, another success and satisfaction factor, is strategic and executive thinking and having clear perceptions. Dr. Diane Kramer, what can you tell me about perception and executive thinking and strategy?
Well, fabulous, because I want to weave that. It's so well spoken, Donna, everything you summarized there. I just want to say that.
Thank you.
Good executive function. But I want to tie those that strategic thinking back into motivation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because purpose. Because in the people who really succeed seem to have a very common thinking strategy for their how to motivate themselves. It's like think of three intersecting circles.
A Venn diagram. Oh, I'm sorry, listeners. I just hit the microphone. Please excuse me for that.
Oh, no problem. So think of three intersecting circles. In circle one, you write down all of your interests, everything you've been interested in. In circle two, you write down all of your strengths. And remember, these are intersecting circles. In circle three, you kind of divide into two parts. In one side, you write down the needs in the world that you're interested in working on or satisfying. And the other half, the realities of the world, like there aren't a lot of jobs in, picking coffee beans right now, just as an example.
Yeah, you know what? That reminds me also of, I'm a marketing consultant, so it reminds me of doing a SWOT analysis.
Yes.
You know, you look at the strengths that you carry. You look at the weaknesses that you need to develop into strengths. You look at the threats that are outside of you and outside of your business. And you pull that all together, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, say what, you know, the opportunities, your interests, and
right.
How that coalesces with your strengths, and it all pulls together. It's a nice concept of the diagram that you had, bridging with a marketing concept.
Absolutely, and right in the center, you can color that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's your purpose. That was what was, so for me, I'll give you an example. So my strengths are in analyzing patterns, I'm really good at that, pulling things out, seeing the underlying patterns. It's, I didn't know I had that strength because you don't use that strength too much in elementary school. And I didn't know that until later when I get into graduate school, that I'm really excellent at that. And my interests were in what's wrong with people out there. Why aren't they happy and satisfied all the time? So my interest was in people and how they regulate themselves and why can't they be happy. My ability was this analysis, and the opportunity, or what I saw out in the world, was through psychology, doing therapy, and helping people.
Well, thank you for that.
So I became a psychologist.
Thank you. That was a really clear analysis of an explanation of how that diagram, three circles intersecting, work. Well, what I was actually going to tell you is that I got a media query from a PR person who wanted to know, how does a company break the news that they're going to sell, that the business owner is going to sell the company? How do they break the news to the employee? And the first thing that I thought about as an answer was, what is the outcome that you want to have? What is the outcome that the business owner needs when they tell the employees that they are going to sell the company? And how do they want that to roll out in the long run? What do they want the employees to do about it? Because that, to me, is where it comes together in the center. Like you start at the center of what is the purpose from a strategic decision-making standpoint, which is another success and satisfaction factor, being able to make a good strategic decision. You have to know where you want to go before
Absolutely.
You can get there.
Absolutely. The strategic outcome is the first part of strategic thinking. What is the outcome? So if the outcome is to keep people calm for the next 6 months until that happens, you don't tell them anything. If the outcome is to prepare them so they have a chance to transition and find something else, then you tell them.
Right. Well, many... Many years ago, I worked for a corporation, a major $11 billion corporation, after these two companies merged together. And in the pre-merger state, there was a lot of stress and anxiety on the part of the
yep.
employees. And it was the rollout. Of course, I was in the communications arena there. And we had to really decide, what do we tell people when to keep everybody calm? And then also, how do we keep our word about what we're expressing to our employees as the intent of this merger? And it is a challenge, but what's so important is being able to be consistent and to be clear and to understand your purpose and to build a collaboration so that in the event of a big change, whether it's a sale of a company or a rollout of a new product, whatever is changing there, or whether you're having a change in your life, it's really important to build a team of support people who can help you to manage that. And
actually, I did consulting for EAB, European American Bank.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. And they were going through a merger, and I was asked to do change management training. And, I went in, and what I discovered first was that all of the middle managers had heard rumors. So trying to keep it quiet doesn't work. People do hear rumors, and the not knowing is perhaps worse than anything else.
Well, that gets into another success and satisfaction factor, which is relationships. When you're in the workplace relationships have very interesting dynamics, and people feel vested or connected or disconnected, and the extent to which they feel vested or disconnected is going to really influence how they communicate and what their relationship with the business as an entity is and what their relationship with their colleagues are. So if we can have a minute or two to talk about the importance of building good relationships as a success and satisfaction factor for your life.
Yeah. I guess the first step in an organization is each person, when they join an organization, goes through a process of acclimating themselves Do I belong? Don't I belong? Is this for me? Am I going to put myself into this? Am I not? Do I need to be here just because I want to make money, but I'm not really into the organization? So each person needs to know where they're at. And everybody's different, you know? Nobody's the same. Some people really, they're there just for security. Other people are there because they want to make a difference in that organization, or they're very motivated by the team or the product. So knowing where you're at is the first step.
Knowing where you're at is a great first step. And also recognizing that in order for your relationships to work, you want to make sure that they're mutually beneficial, that there's a win-win accounting at the end of it, in order for everybody to come away with their needs met, particularly in a business situation. I always think about the business
side. I remember doing consulting for a big technology company. There was the woman there, an executive VP, who was doing everything for everyone. She volunteered for every assignment. She had been a nationally ranked tennis champ as a teenager, and her father had motivated her. She went on to Harvard. She was a star, and she had to keep proving she was a star. But she did everything for everyone else and nothing for herself. Finally, she got sick, her marriage crumpled, and she finally came for some help because she was doing too much, and it was win for everybody else. Lose for her.
Well, then it takes us back to one of the success and satisfaction factors we discussed earlier, which is goals and action plans. So if you find that you're being pulled off into that perfect pleasing and trying to harmonize and do everything for everybody else, at some point you have to say, come back to that purpose of what's important to me, what are my goals, and how can I make this work for me too? And one of the other things we talked about earlier was chunking things down into taking what works for you one step at a time, because it may take a while to get what you want, particularly if you're not used to focusing on yourself first.
Well, this woman, in answer to that, she had been very busy attacking herself if she wasn't pleasing everyone else, which goes back to an earlier point. She learned not to attack herself, that it was okay to take responsibility only for her part and not for everyone else. And what she started to do as she felt better about herself, see, all these factors intertwine, she took a risk and started to say no. No, I'm not going to serve on that committee. No, I'm not going to head up that project. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not staying after six. She started saying no. And it turned out that it became win-win. The other people in the company, her peers, started respecting her more because she said no. So she won, they won. It all worked out
in
the end.
That's a great outcome. And it talks again to everything is so intertwined when you're thinking about success and satisfaction, because here we have another factor. Being able to problem solve and learn by recognizing that there are deeper issues behind the surface problem. So if you're out there and you're always doing everything for everybody else and putting yourself second or last, then you need to look at what's really going on here. Why do I do that? What was I believing? What must I be believing to let myself fall into that position over and over and over again? And if I'm stuck in that position, I need to stop and figure out what I have to learn to get to the next step. So it brings us also to a time of and a need for reflection and accountability and changing of course so that we can correct our plan if our life isn't going the way that we want it to.
So as you were talking, I was seeing a line kind of, and one end is the very selfish, I win, you lose person. At the other end is the selfless person, you know, giving up of self too much. I lose, you win. The loss of self rather than, so let's call it that person. And in the middle is the win-win person. So you got to stop and look and say, where am I on that line?
Well, we are talking on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station, with Dr. Diane Kramer, clinical psychologist, about success and satisfaction factors in life and work. And so What's really important is that when you notice that something is going wrong, you just figure out what you need to learn to correct the problem and get back on track. And while you were looking at, you know, one type of a continuum between kinds of people, we can also look at a continuum of, on the left side of a long line is, this is where I am now. And this is, and then on the, all the way at the right side is, this is where I want to go. And so how am I going to get from here to there? What steps do I need to take? And start to outline them. So when we've got just a couple minutes left, we know that how we approach our business and how we measure our knowledge and our satisfaction and our success is very important. Evaluation is very important. But Dr. Diane Kramer, we have just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. What are the main points that you would want somebody to take away from a conversation about how to be your best self? Okay. And then how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, well, that's a challenge. Number one, recognize that you were shaped into who you are, not to blame your parents or your surround, but you were shaped. Right? It's shaping.
Right, so you don't have to blame anyone else, and you don't have to blame yourself. It just is what it is, so you need to change it if you want it to be different.
Right. So the first is to recognize you were shaped, and now you go, like your hair, you go for a new haircut. Okay? So the second step is to learn to get mindful, to become very aware of the old patterns and the new, what you want instead. To observe yourself in the old, what triggers them off, what you do, how it doesn't work, and then to focus on what do I want instead.
Okay, well, what do I want instead for this new year is a great question for our listeners to ask themselves. You've got another few days left in the old year. You can start to set goals for yourself for next year. And I want to wish you all, every one of our WMEL family listeners, those of you who love to listen to Bold Talk Business Radio on Saturdays with me, Donna Anselmo, and my guest today, Dr. Diane Kramer, I want you to think about how to make this upcoming year your best year yet. And I want to let you know that if you want to get some more information on Dr. Diane Kramer, today's guest, you can go to www.peakskillslearning.com or longislandmarriagecounseling.com. And you can call us at 631-1300 WMEL. Have a great new year.
And thank you, Donna. This is Wayne West, live here in the AM 1300 WMEL control room. Want to wish everyone, like Donna said, a happy new year to you. 2015, it's got to be a little bit better. We've all got our fingers crossed, hoping for that one. We're coming up on 3 o'clock news time in a little bit. Great weather forecast, 79 down Cocoa, 77 degrees, Cocoa Beach and downtown Titusville. Stay tuned for a great sports show on WMEL. It's called Mouthin' Off. We're all good at that around here because we're the Talk to Me station.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. I'm Slaughter.
And I'm Lawson.
And our new show is called Mouthin' Off, Saturdays at 3 p.m. On our sports talk show, we tackle hard-hitting sports topics on a local and national level. I'm Alan Slaughter.
And I'm Matt Lawson.
Talk to us Saturdays at 3 p.m. here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
And worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
Herman Cain.
President Obama has made some changes in terms of our relationship with Cuba.
I do not believe we can keep doing the same thing for over 5 decades and expect a different result.
Well, guess what, Mr. President? That's what Cuba did. The same thing for 5 decades, and they got a different result.
You threw in the towel.
Solutions for a Better America.
It's Herman Cain, weekday mornings at 11 on AM 1300 WMEL.
Now you can hear 1300 WMEL digital on your iPhone. Just go to 1300WMEL.com and then click the listen button for complete details on the iPhone app for AM 1300 WMEL.